Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Right now, our guest is Dr. Paul Kanger, returning to our program. He is a professor at Grove City College, a best-selling author. His most classic book is probably God and Ronald Reagan. But he, on the other side of the fence, he wrote a book called God and Hillary Clinton. Paul, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Jerry, anytime. Thanks.
Oh, sure. Well, it's great to get this ongoing election results as this election 2016 continues to unfold. So now Trump won Florida. That was big news. Kasich won Ohio and is not dropping out of the race. Rubio is dropping out of the race. Cruz has racked up 405 delegates so far, but Trump has racked up 661 at last count. Rubio had 169 and Kasich 142. Yeah. Adding those up, the anti-Trump delegates equal 716. Trump again has 661. Your comments, sir?
Yeah. Well, it's remarkable, and that's right. I mean, still you're getting, Trump continues to lead and appears to some people to be a juggernaut, but he's really only getting 30 to 40%. That's what it comes down to. I was really stunned by your neck of the woods, Florida. I thought the Rubio would be competitive there, and the polls did show Trump leading him. I think I saw a poll like 40 to 24%, but I thought Rubio would close the gap. Turns out it was even bigger than that. I mean, I remember, Jerry, people saying, okay, Rubio should pull out of this and let, Ted Cruz take him on, take Trump one-on-one in Florida. Well, gee, I don't know that that would have mattered either, because to beat Trump, you would have had to get almost 50% in a three-man race. The guy got 45% in Florida. So, that was an absolute rout. I mean, typically he's winning these states with 30, 34% in like a four-person field. So that was shocking. Kasich, I guess, if you're against Trump, and I'll be candid, I am. What Kasich did in Ohio, denying Trump those delegate votes, was crucial. But on the other hand, even that, in a way, is kind of a benefit to Trump, because it keeps Kasich in the race, and allows the anti-Trump vote to continue to be split. In this case, between Kasich and Cruz. So Trump even won that way in a little bit. But I think we're looking at a very likely scenario where they get to the convention in Cleveland, and like Marco Rubio said 4 weeks ago, Marco Rubio said there's no way Donald Trump is going to get 1,237 delegates. And I think at least what Rubio said there looks like that's probably going to turn out to be true.
Really? I mean, I'm surprised at that. I know he's only halfway, but he's more than halfway, I guess.
Yes.
1,237. Pardon me?
Yeah, a lot of the states that are left are not winner-take-all states.
Okay.
And so really, in a way, leaving Kasich in probably continues to divide some of the delegates. The math is that Trump would need about 60% of the vote going forward in order to get 1237. And he hasn't gotten that. I mean, I don't think he still has gotten 50% in a single state. The only state where anybody exceeded 50 was Cruz, got Wyoming by like 68 or something like that. I think, Trump got maybe 48 in Massachusetts. Again, he got 45 in Florida. But Trump, most of these states, still wins with just something in the low 30s. He barely beat Rubio in Virginia by like 1 point. It was like 33-32 or 34-33. So I still don't see Trump getting it, and I don't see him getting the 1237. And then also, Jerry, when he gets to Cleveland, I don't see him getting the nomination either, because the Republican Party does not want Donald Trump to be its standard bearer. And also, too, if you're looking strictly at hard data, he remains, ironically, the only one of the Republicans of the top four going into this other Super Tuesday who doesn't beat Hillary in a race. Ironically, the one that dropped out, Marco Rubio, beat her the most handily. So you know, the Republican Party knows that Trump doesn't fare well with Hillary one-on-one. So I think if he gets there and he's not anywhere close to the 1237, they're not going to give it to him.
Wow. But this could really fracture the party. I mean, especially the people. I know there's a lot of people who feel disenfranchised, and they feel like the Republican establishment has totally let them down. I agree with that point, by the way, that, you know, they were elected, for example, in 2014 to not just let amnesty go through and, you know, not seal the border. We have utter chaos on the border now, thanks to Obama. You know, what is his plan there? Get more Democratic voters? I mean, that's what it seems like it is. It's that base.
I'll tell you what, those people, those Trump supporters are in for a heck of a surprise. If they want frustration now, just wait and see if Trump becomes president. And then he can't just magically wave a wand, or really more in Trump's case, bang his fist on the table and yell, and get done what he wants done. I mean, you know, there's not a lot that you can do. There's not a lot of things that you can do by executive order. Most things still need to be passed by you know, the assembly, the bicameral legislature, the House of Representatives and the Senate. I think of Harry Truman's great line to Dwight Eisenhower when there was that switch, and Truman said, "Poor Ike, you know, he'll come here and he'll say, do this, do that, do this, do that, and nothing will happen. It won't be anything like the military." The presidency, our government is designed for that, where paralysis is more common. And so Trump, who's used to getting what he wants as a CEO, and a very brash and very bold one, often a very vulgar and very profane one, he's going to be a little shocked when he gets there and the bureaucracy doesn't just snap into action and do what he's told. So I think the Trump supporters are in for quite a rude awakening if they think that their guy is going to get in there and yell and scream and throw a tantrum and threaten to sue people and find out that, this requires 2/3. You know, this requires a majority. Even the Donald doesn't get exactly what he wants. You know, we don't have a dictatorial state. We have a democracy here. And I don't know why they think electing Trump is suddenly going to change that.
Well, it's so interesting, too, because when you think about President Obama, I mean, a lot of the things he's done through executive orders, even
That's right.
when there were many people who were, you know, voting against that. When the people, for example, had an opportunity to speak out on Obamacare, they voted loud and clear, get rid of this thing, defund it. And, you know, the Republicans were, appointed or were voted in 2014 to do those kinds of things, and they didn't stand up to it. That's why I think Trump is so popular with people. They perceive him as being a strong man who will stand up to these policies that the majority of Americans don't want.
Yeah, but what is a strong man, right? When we think of a strong man, typically that term, we think of Latin American dictators.
That's true, banana republic.
Right, yeah, and you know, they can be strong men because they have authoritarian regimes. But it's the way that America is built, and I know this is frustrating to people, but really the founders intended it to this way. You know, I'm talking to you, who wrote all those great books on George Washington and so forth, the work you did with D. James Kennedy. Our system was designed to not allow for strong men.
Yep.
And so you know, they're going to get their strong man in there, and he's not. Now, I know the people probably listening right now are saying, "Well, look what Obama's done with the executive order." Well, yeah, I know, but still,
they can be undone.
Most of what Obama has wanted to do, he hasn't been able to do. And look, even with Obamacare, that had to go through the Supreme Court. And if it wasn't for John Roberts.
Yeah, what's that all about?
Yeah, with the idiotic thing that he did. But still, it was a 5-4 decision. It barely got through. The wheels of the state move slow in America. We want it to be that way. And again, I think that the Trump voters are going to be in for one heck of a surprise when he can go in there and, to paraphrase Harry Truman, yell, "Do this, do that," and finds out that nothing happens. Remember a couple of debates ago when I think it was in Florida when Trump said that about the generals in the military, "Oh, they'll do as I say."
Yeah,
right?
Because it's me saying it. Yeah.
No, they won't. You'll be impeached.
Wow.
You know, they won't. And guys who are listening who like Trump, who are in the military, you're on my side here. You know what I'm saying, right? You don't want the machismo president from the Oval Office pulling an LBJ or whatever else, you know, calling you and ordering you what to do. We don't stand for that kind of nonsense in America.
Hmm. The negatives that Donald Trump has, and you've written about this, your colleague at Grove City College, Michael Coulter, I went on your website, visionandvalues.org, to, you know, just look something up, and I saw an article by Michael Coulter, and it was specifically about Donald Trump. That article mentions the negatives he has. Previous articles you've written talk about the negatives that Donald Trump has. That's important to realize. I mean, so far, everything we've been looking at has been related to the Republican primaries.
Right.
So comment about those negatives.
That is the absolute and utter crucial distinction. He appears to be a juggernaut only because he's getting 30 to 40% in a primary that's had anywhere from 17 candidates to four. And now we're down to three. I mean, think about this. Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, in almost every state that they run in, get a higher percentage of votes than Donald Trump does.
You mean Trump, either of them? You mean, or both of them combined?
Or? Because there's only two of them.
Right.
So Trump wins with 30 to 35 to 40%, but he really caps out at 40%, and he's got the highest unlikability ratings in the history of Gallup in presidential primaries. The only person who was ever close to him was George H.W. Bush in 1992, who got 36% of the vote.
He lost that election.
Yeah, and allowed for Bill Clinton to get elected, and Hillary Clinton wouldn't even be a name today if it wasn't for that. And here's the irony: the third worst in likability is Hillary Clinton. She's like 52%. So oddly, this is the year when any Republican almost could beat Hillary, unless you've got somebody with colossal unlikabilities, and that's Trump. And so this is a very dangerous situation. If as many people despise him as do, you could see Hillary Clinton in a landslide victory in November, including one that brings in maybe even a Democratic House and Senate. This was the year for almost any Republican and almost any conservative to crush the Democratic nominee, which, by the way, is why Trump got in. Trump is the one who, according to national polls in a general election, he does well in the Republican primary, but he doesn't win the general election.
Isn't that interesting? The views and opinions expressed here are our own, but we're talking right now with Dr. Paul Kanger, K-E-N-G-O-R, visionandvalues.org for more information. And Dr. Kanger, I've seen some of the criticisms from the right of Donald Trump. And, you know, one of the points made, too, is that the statement that evangelicals, by and large, support Trump, that's overblown. But it was interesting. I saw, you know, all the different things heaped against him. But one of them was oafish. I've never heard of anybody being oafish. O-A-F-I-S-H.
Yeah, but, yeah. No, oafish, I think, is yeah,
like
I
an
oaf. About oafish. But he's definitely the man is very confident, gauche maybe, a lot of panache. He's also very vulgar and very profane. And you know, the Democrats are queuing up all that stuff right now. Mm. You know, putting together, you know, 2-3-4 minute commercials of him encouraging people at his rallies to, you know, punch that guy, you know, beat the crap out of him. This is his words, not mine.
Right.
I'll pay for the bills. And then you show somebody getting punched, you show someone getting hit, and the people that are getting punched have been African Americans so far, so that's going to look even worse.
Mm.
And then also you saw the ad that came out the other day, which I think was put together by a former Romney supporter, of a bunch of women just stringing together various quotes from Donald Trump. Mm. And so this guy is going to get murdered on the female vote. He's talking about all these people he's bringing to the Republican Party. He's going to get at best single digits on African Americans and Hispanics.
Wow.
And it will be this is going to be devastating for the Republican Party.
Wow. Dr. Paul Kanger, again, your opinions are your own, but I appreciate you sharing them right here on Vocal Point. Thanks so much for being with us. God bless you, sir.
All right. Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you now. Bye-bye.